travel plans are you imagining for 2026? Have you opened up the travel guides and begun to imagine dreamy destinations? Maybe you're not really even planning to go, but you just want to imagine. But you know, setting out on a trip only to arrive at your destination and not find what you thought you would be the ultimate disappointment. Like no view at the summit after a tough climb up the mountain. All the travel guides do their best to lure you into believing you are going to see what they show you if you just follow their guidance. But it doesn't always go as planned. Lonely Planet Hawaii had a suggested trail for us to take that would lead us across a black sandy beach over tidal waters and into the tropical jungle to find an ancient historical site. We were doing fine finding our way through an unmarked path until we came upon a jeep parked in the middle of nowhere. And out from behind it came a man who had a gun packed in his back of his pants. And he told us to just turn back and leave. Well, of course, I pulled out my Lonely Planet guidebook and had the gall to argue with him. Surely this is the trail. And his reply was, there is no trail. Well, we couldn't get out of there fast enough. We were quite disappointed in the Lonely Planet guidebook. It had misdirected us. We were tempted to write the editors and give them a piece of our mind. And we question ourselves for even trusting the guidebook. Then there are trips which seem to have one too many obstacles, and you wonder if you will ever reach your Airbnb, drop off your luggage, and go catch the sunset on the beach before it leaves for the day. My friends and I planned a trip from Kokand, Uzbekistan to the Fergana Valley. We had filled our bags with gifts to bring out our host family, knowing that the greatest gift for them would be our presence, our friendship, our attention to their life experience as missionaries. It couldn't have been more difficult to get there than flying to the moon. Every street sign was misleading, and every person we asked for directions was as well. Some street signs were in Russian and others were in Uzbek, if there even was a sign. The people we met on the sidewalk never gave us the right answer. Each person deliberately misled us. Matthew's story tells us of a small group of astrologers who had been perusing their guidebook, The Starry Heavens. Like we might surf the net to take in all the possible destinations, until one star captured their attention and told them of a destination that was worth everything to make, a trip to make. Their destination, though, was a child born king of the Jews. They packed their bags full of gifts to greet and honor this child king and headed west to Jerusalem. All along the way, they never came across another traveler heading in that direction. No other person was making such a pilgrimage, risking a journey on the guidance of a star. But the language of the stars was a heavenly language not to be ignored for these wise men. These sages of the path stars take in the heavens to reveal divine activity on the earth. This time, one star spoke loudly to them, saying, "This is the star of a young king." The astrologers, like excited trip planners, were all starry-eyed with anticipation to reach their destination and find what they had been looking for, what they had been longing to see and to experience. Did they see themselves before they set out? Did they see themselves kneeling on fine carpets in a throne room decked in fine tapestries before a child laying on beautifully carved and gilded bed? Perhaps they had gazed into an imaginary scene where the Jewish people were celebrating this little prince's arrival, lining up to have a good look at the hope and promise he represented. What the astrologers found when they arrived in Jerusalem and entered the palatial halls of Herod was nothing as they imagined. There was no child there and no knowledge of his existence. No excitement in the air, no party with music and gifts. Anticipating he was born in the royal palace of Jerusalem, they had traveled west, only to be disappointed on their arrival. Their joyful countenances, full of expectation, nearly gave Herod a heart attack. Not unlike the gun-toting man we startled out from behind his jeep in his territory, Herod was out to protect his territory, and he would pull out the guns, so to speak, in the weeks that would follow this visit by the Magi. Frightened by the Magi's obvious belief that a newborn king had been born, he gets someone to check the records to find out where this was supposed to happen, how it was predicted. Summoning the Magi secretly, he tells them what he finds out, and he waves them off to Bethlehem. The Magi retreat from this quiet conversation where there are no witnesses and leave the palace a little bit bewildered. Frightened by our foreign presence, the Uzbeks on the street gave us directions that we were unsure about, but went with until we found our way to the home we were looking for. The Magi do likewise. Hoping that they are not being misdirected, they set off for Bethlehem, and as they do, their guide appears. The star, his star, appears again to lead them to the home where the child king is. Heaven is excited, you see, if no one on earth is, except these astrologers, to find this child king. The child star stops over a simple home in Bethlehem. They have reached their destination, these Magi, and once again, it isn't maybe what they had imagined. The Magi walk into an ordinary, unadorned, common home in a village far from the royal palace of Jerusalem. Sure of the guiding star, his star, they shake their heads a little bit and then fall on their knees in worship before this child that lay beneath this divine starry sign. Many scholars and readers of the story want to know more details about Matthew's account. Who and what were these men? Matthew is a bit unclear, and so we find ourselves reading a variety of translations, calling them seekers of wisdom, wise men, magi, kings, astrologers, and astronomers. Sometimes people are asking, where in the East did they actually come from? Babylon? Iran? We are not told. What languages did they speak? How long did they travel? Most importantly, since when were the Jewish people open to affirming divine guidance from stars, from observing the stars in the heavens? Matthew, one of the Jews who wrote this story, has lived his life following the path Jesus shone on earth. And he writes this story to tell us to fully trust in Jesus as well. Trust as the Magi trusted, that the heavens spoke of his coming, and be not disappointed in what you see and experience when you enter his home and think it is a bit ordinary. Trust in God who made the stars and rules over all things and over all time. Take joy in the journey of life and trust that where God guides and how she does so is to always bring us to see and experience the holy presence of God. In our time, as in the time of Herod, the stars shine, and God desires us to be guided by what is good, to lead us to all that is good. In Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let there be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. The wise men understood that the heavenly lights rule the day and night. In their time, in a time of Herod's rule, they chose to be guided by the rule of heaven and the ruler revealed by his own star, Jesus Christ. They did not pay tribute to Herod when they saw him in his palace. They did not return to him to do so after seeing the child, for they knew he was the true king, worthy of riches and honor. No matter how ordinary, how common, how domestic and simple this child looked, The wise men understood and believed he was the destination they had dreamed of. God is our destination and our good fortune. How often, though, do we not feel we have been mistaken in our pursuit of the spiritual life? Like the trip on our bucket list that turns out to be pretty dull. Excuse me. As you came to the end of 2025, did you arrive at the things you imagined you would? The scenes, the sights, the experiences? Do you find yourself disappointed at what you found in the end? Full of more questions, wanting more details, more guidance? Matthew hoped we would ask these questions after reading this story, the story of the wisdom seekers. Matthew is writing this story to encourage us to persist in our spiritual trip planning. The rest of his gospel is full of starlight to guide us and to show us the rule of God in Christ, which continues to show up in the common and ordinary settings of our lives. Travel with me this year as I do my best to be starry-eyed, seeking to observe God shining through the common events that lay before me and us. Let every longing you have to see and experience the unusual and magnificent things of life lead you closer to the Creator and ruler of it all. May it also lead you to deeper trust, fortitude, and generosity. Then you and I will be wiser for it, and God's story will live on.